Okay, so imagine this, right? You're in Hawaii, sun's shining, you're cruising along, and bam, you cause a car accident.
Oh.
Yeah, and now you're staring down the barrel of some serious lawsuits,
Mm.
potentially huge debt, right? What would you do to protect, I don't know, your house, savings, all your assets?
I mean, that's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real nail biter. Well, lucky for us, today we're diving deep right into Sawada Viendo. It's a landmark case, deals with this exact issue. But there's a twist, throws in some fascinating marital property law, too.
Yeah, this one's a real head scratcher. Went all the way to the Hawaii Supreme Court, and you know what? It's still sparking debates even today.
Wow.
Get ready for a story. We've got a car crash, a property transfer that'll raise some eyebrows, and a legal battle that just might make you rethink how we protect families and assets, the whole shebang.
I am hooked already. Let's jump right in. So rewind with me. November 30th, 1968, the Sawadas, they're injured when Kokichi Endo hits them with his car.
And here's the kicker. Kokichi, no insurance, zero, zilch.
Oh man, I can already see where this is heading. So naturally, the Sawadas, they sue Kokichi, hoping to get some compensation, right, for their injuries and everything.
Spot on, but before any judgment that's handed down, Kokichi and his wife, Ume, they transfer their property, the whole thing, over to their sons.
Real.
July 1969, just a handful of months after the accident.
Okay, yeah. That timing definitely seems a little suspicious, doesn't it? Almost like they were trying to, maybe shield their assets just in case.
It does make you wonder. And here's the thing, the sons, they knew. They knew all about the accident, the whole situation, and that their father didn't have insurance when they got the property.
Huh. So what happens next?
Well, the Sawadas, they're left high and dry, right?
Yeah.
Kokichi's got nothing for them, so they decide, hey, let's go after that transferred property.
Makes sense. Cut off the head, go for the, well, yeah.
Right. Their argument, classic fraudulent conveyance, basically a legal move, people use it to hide assets from creditors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But something tells me this case wouldn't be so famous if it were that simple. There's got to be something more to it.
You're absolutely right, there is. And this is where things get really interesting. Enter. Tenancy by the entirety.
Oh, yeah, tenancy by the entirety. Heard of it, but I'll admit I'm a little fuzzy on the specifics. Maybe you could break it down for me and, for our listeners who might be in the same boat.
Sure, of course. So think of it this way. It's a unique type of property ownership, specifically for married couples. A super strong bond ties their ownership together, you know?
Okay, so is it like kind of similar to joint tenancy, where if one person passes away, the other person, they just inherit their half?
Not quite. Tenancy by the entirety, it's a bit different. It's not about getting a bigger slice of the pie. It's like the surviving spouse, they inherit the whole thing, the entire property, their ownership. It remains complete, like it was always meant to be theirs and theirs alone from the start.
Interesting. That is a pretty big difference. But how does that protect them from, like, creditors and debt collectors?
Well, here's the key takeaway. If a debt is only against one spouse, get this, creditors, they can't touch property held in tenancy by the entirety. It's like an invisible shield protecting the family home.
Whoa, that's some serious protection. Okay, so in this case, did the court, the Hawaii Supreme Court, did they rule in favor of the Sawadas or the Endos?
Well, this is where it gets really fascinating. The court, they actually sided with the Endos.
Wait, really? Even though it seemed like there was some, I don't know, shady business going on with that property transfer, I'm really curious to hear how they justified that.
So their decision, it all boiled down to how they interpreted the Married Women's Property Acts. These laws, they came about back in the 19th century, and they aimed to give married women more control over their own property, recognize their equal rights within the marriage, you know.
So laws that were meant to empower women ended up shielding assets from creditors. That's an interesting twist.
It is. The court basically argued, look, these laws, they were never intended to give creditors more power. It was all about making sure both spouses had equal rights to the property, plain and simple. And they emphasized, look, the Sawadas, they didn't rely on the Endo's property when they gave Kokichi credit, so it wasn't directly tied to the debt at all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a subtle distinction, but it's
Mm-hmm.
important. So the court, they were really putting the family unit first, prioritizing that over the interests of the creditors.
You got it. In their ruling, they even made a pretty powerful statement. They said, and I quote, "If we were to select between creditors and the family unit, we would choose the latter."
Wow, those are strong words. But I can't imagine everyone was on board with this decision, right? There had to be some pushback.
Oh, absolutely. There was a dissenting opinion, Justice Kidwell. He argued that the husband's survivorship interest, That should be fair game for creditors.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're set to inherit something, shouldn't creditors be able to, you know, consider that potential value?
Exactly his point. He also argued that if a couple goes and transfers property specifically to dodge debts, well, then fraudulent conveyance laws, they should still apply. It wasn't just about, you know, protecting families. It was about making sure people weren't taking advantage of the system.
I see. It's a tough one, isn't it? You have this legal principle designed to protect families, but there's always the potential for someone to abuse it. And the law, well, it has to try and walk that tightrope, find the balance.
Exactly. And that, my friend, is precisely what makes Sawada v. Endo such a landmark case. It highlights that tension, safeguarding the family home on one hand, making sure creditors get their due on the other.
This deep dive, it's really got me thinking. Property ownership, debt collection, the whole thing. It's amazing how, I don't know, how just one case can bring up so many big questions, you know?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. What's really fascinating here with Sawada is how it kind of forced the legal system to look in the mirror, confront those changing dynamics like marriage and property rights in the U.S. I mean, think about it. For centuries, married women, very limited property rights, almost like they were invisible to the law, you know?
Yeah, it's wild. And it wasn't until the Married Women's Property Acts came along that they finally got some real ownership rights.
Yeah.
Right? Within a marriage, I mean.
You got it. And Sawada, in a way, it solidified those rights, made it crystal clear a husband's creditors, they couldn't just come in and grab property owned jointly by the couple.
Right. So it shifted the focus from, like, individual rights to the rights of the married couple, seeing them as one economic unit. That's a pretty big deal when you think about it.
Oh, it's huge. But it does raise an interesting question, right? Like, what happens if the creditors were going after both spouses? Say they both caused the accident or had some debt together, nothing to do with the property itself.
Oh, okay, yeah. I see what you mean. So would tenancy by the entirety still protect them in that kind of situation?
Well, that's where things get a little more complicated. In those cases where the debt's against both spouses, creditors, generally speaking, they can go after property held in tenancy by the entirety. The thinking being the debt belongs to the unit, the marital unit, not just one person.
So there are limits to this protection.
Yeah.
And it all boils down to, like, who owes the debt and why?
Exactly. It's not some magic bullet, you know, not a get out of jail free card for every debt under the sun.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But even in cases where, you know, only one spouse is responsible, this ruling, it feels like it could lead to some unfair outcomes, right?
Yeah.
What about situations where a creditor is truly harmed, but the debtor's spouse, they just hide behind this legal shield, never takes responsibility?
That's exactly the point Justice Kidwell raised in his dissent. He argued the majority opinion, it created a loophole, one that debtors could use to, you know, shield their assets from legitimate creditors.
So it's that age-old legal dilemma, trying to protect one person's rights without stepping on the rights of someone else.
You nailed it. And this debate, it goes way beyond just married couples and creditors, right? Think about it. If the law makes it too easy for people to hide their assets, wouldn't that make lenders hesitant to give out loans in the first place?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. If creditors are constantly worried about not getting their money back, yeah, it could have a ripple effect, couldn't it, on lending? And that could impact the whole economy.
Exactly. So this case, it seems simple on the surface, right? Car accident, property transfer. But underneath, it touches on some fundamental stuff. Economic issues, social issues, the whole nine yards.
It really opens your eyes, doesn't it? How one legal decision can have all these consequences, things you might not even consider at first.
And that's why understanding cases like Sawada v. Endo is so important. It's not just about memorizing rules and regulations. It's about wrestling with the values, the policy choices, the things behind the rules.
So for everyone listening, maybe they're thinking, okay, but how does this affect ME? What's the one thing you'd want them to remember from this case?
Well, if I had to choose one big takeaway, it'd be this. Property ownership, especially for married couples, it's more complicated than it seems.
You mean we can't just assume that, what, because we're married, our individual stuff is automatically protected?
That's right. It all comes down to how you own the property. Tenancy by the entirety, joint tenancy, or even something else, it changes how creditors can get to those assets and to make things even trickier. These laws, they're different all over the place. State to state, you never know.
So tenancy by the entirety, it can be powerful, right, for protecting your stuff. But it's not a decision to be made lightly, is it?
Not at all. We're not just talking about checking a box on a form, are we? This is serious stuff. It's about understanding the consequences for both spouses and thinking about the ethics of it all, too.
Yeah, you're right. I imagine this case, it had to change how creditors go about collecting debts, right?
Yeah.
Knowing this protection exists, they probably have to be more strategic, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. They can't just assume they can seize assets anymore. Creditors have to consider tenancy by the entirety. Factor it in when they're looking at a debtor's assets, deciding if it's even worth going to court.
So it's like almost a chess match, isn't it? Debtors trying to protect what's theirs, creditors trying to find a way around it, and the courts, they're the referees making sure the rules are followed.
I like that. A chess match, that's a great analogy. And yeah. The stakes, they're high. The outcome can change people's lives, you know? Their financial security, even the integrity of the whole legal system, it's all connected.
Wow. This deep dive, it's been truly eye-opening. I feel like I've learned so much about tenancy by the entirety, fraudulent conveyance, all these nuances of marital property law. It's really fascinating stuff.
It's been great, hasn't it, exploring this case with you? Complex, fascinating, and you know what? Still relevant to this day.
So for our listeners, they're probably still processing all of this, right? What's the one thing you want them to walk away with from Sawada v. Endo, I mean?
If I had to choose just one thing, it's this. The law, it's constantly changing, trying to keep up with society, with how things work in the real world. What might have seemed like a straightforward legal rule, even a few decades ago, it can become way more complicated as new situations come up, new perspectives, the whole thing.
So staying informed, getting good legal advice, that's crucial, wouldn't you say? Especially when you're dealing with these kinds of issues where the stakes are high.
Absolutely. Whether you're a married couple thinking about tenancy by the entirety, a creditor trying to collect a debt, or just someone who wants to understand the law, right? Knowing the laws where you live, how they affect your rights, your responsibilities, that's essential.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, folks, that's about it for today's deep dive. Until next time, keep on learning, keep on exploring, and as always, stay curious.